This week on Don't Miss the Bus, we're headed to Africa's happiest country, Uganda. Learn about their brutal history, find out all about gorilla trekking, and Mark tells you why it's okay to call people fat.
I'm Rory Kerr.
And I'm Mark Fay.
This is the podcast where two tour guides reflect on 15 years of travel to seven continents and over 120 countries. Each episode, we'll be focusing on a country from both a tour guide and a backpacker's perspective. We are no experts, but our hilarious and often bizarre stories will keep you informed on the do's, the don'ts, and the hidden melons that will surely get you excited for your next big adventure.
Okay, Uganda. So a country I don't know a whole lot about, Rory. It's a country I've learnt a fair bit about from my extensive study. Really excited to get to know a lot about it from you who has visited Uganda before. But I'm going to tell you a few facts that I did look up, which you might find quite interesting.
Let's go.
So the capital is Kampala, and it has a population, the whole country, of 35.6 million people. I'm just going to give you a brief history lesson because I find this quite interesting. Since its independence from Britain in 1962, the East African nation has endured a military coup, followed by a brutal military dictatorship, which ended in 1979, disputed elections in 1980, and a five-year war that brought current president Museveni to power in 1986.
Do you know who the dictator in the 70s was? You may have heard of the name. Idi Amin. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm into that. That's thank God he's done. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that leads me to their major religion, which is Christianity and also Islam. Hey, Rory, before I hear more about that, I just want to throw one little fun fact at you. Here in Australia, we obviously have to spend a lot of money and we live on a lot of money and we're quite wealthy. In Uganda, approximately half of people from Uganda live on less than $1 per day.
Well, I might be able to explain that, Mark. You said there was 36 million?
There's 35.6 million.
35.6. So let's round it up to 36. Of those 36 million, nearly half, so 48% of them, are under the age of 14.
I heard about that.
Under the age of 14.
About that.
That is shocking. Yes, so it's an extremely poor country. But for such a poor country, can you believe they have their own brand of motor cars? Kira Motor Cars, funnily enough, are actually producing electric cars.
Kira or Kia?
Kira. K-I-I-R-A.
Oh, really?
Kira. They're producing electric cars and solar-powered buses. Isn't that shocking from a country that's so poor and so many of them are so young?
Yeah.
Did you also know that men in Uganda usually wear trousers and women wear long skirts? Do you know why?
I'm going to say it's to do with the religion.
Well, it's more to do with men that wear short shorts, like yourself, are considered immature.
That's if I'm wearing shorts.
They're considered immature. So it's probably appropriate. And women, what do you think they're considered if they wear short skirts?
I would say they may be considered escort workers.
Yeah, you're right there. Exactly. Now, my experience in Uganda, you don't have any experience. You've never been.
No.
I was leading the 76-day tours around Africa, 13 different countries. And we'd spend about a week or just over in Uganda. It'd be at the start of the trip. And to tell you the truth, Uganda is my favorite country out of those 13 countries.
Uganda?
Uganda. It's located in East Africa. It is landlocked. They rely on Kenya to get their goods in and out. They speak a lot of English and some Swahili too, mm-hmm. and some native tongues. But the people there, I remember going for a run and I learned a little bit of Swahili and I said to this old lady, she looked about 70 and she had a big basket on her head and she was walking along. And I said, Uganda is beautiful in Swahili to her. And she put the basket down. She started jumping with her hands in the sky. Guy and a big smile, and you want to see the warmth of people. Little kids were running along beside me. It is a magical place. So every time you get to the border, you'll see lots of trucks because they'll be coming in from Kenya and they'll be waiting for days to get their goods across. And you will have people selling authentic Rolexes. Did you know that? Authentic.
Sign me up.
So I was saying the same thing. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Rolex. And then they started to give me this wrap looking thing. So a Rolex is a chapati, which is like a big flat pancake.
Oh yes.
And they roll it up with eggs in the middle. So it's rolled eggs Rolex.
Yes.
And that's how they get it.
Rolled eggs. Yep. You're
get them out the front of a lot of the places tourists are saying. Traditionally it's eggs, bit of onion, tomato, maybe flat some bread. Meat, and they roll it up. But if you want something really delicious, they do ones with Nutella and banana in them in a chapati. And chapatis are incredible.
It says the Rolexes here cost less than $1.
Yeah.
$1. Nothing. Dollar.
Giving them away.
Did you try the mashed green bananas when you were there?
No.
They're obsessed with their bananas. So in regards to what they eat, have you heard of matuki or matoki? It's one of their most popular dishes. So apparently it's one of their national food. So literally, as the name suggests, mashed green bananas.
Oh.
Usually served with some sort of beef or meat.
It's time to get some things off my chest.
Bust my head in, bust my head in. Oi, bruv, I'm gonna bust your head in.
So this week on Bust My Head In, just one simple thing, and I've said this about many African nations. Public transport is non-existent. If you are going to travel in Africa, you can rent a car. You can try and string together public transport, but you are going to do yourself a lot of headaches. The easiest way, especially in Uganda, is to get a tour. Just get a cheap tour that's going around, stopping off at all the places. Get on it. You'll have a blast.
I have the power!
I have the power to change something about this beautiful country. The people are so lovely. I go and give the Ugandan people, every single one of them, a big giant hug.
You're doing that thing where you raise your body up, you get closer to me, and you've got that
almost powerful.
It's like excitement
powerful.
That you're going to jump on me. Can you just step back just half a meter? You're literally powerful. You're all over the top of me right now.
I'm excited.
You're standing over me like you are powerful. So yeah. Tell me about this power, man.
Maybe I'm gonna give them all a big hug because they're extremely happy group of people. And if you look back at their history, it has been terrible. We talked about Idi Amin in the 70s, one of the most brutal leaders in world history.
Yeah.
Now they've got a leader, Museveni. In the mid-80s, he came to power. And like many African leaders before him, he started out good. He was huge in the effort to control the AIDS epidemic, and he gave women a lot of rights. But like most African leaders, what happens? They turn it into a dictatorship. They get rid of any opposition and they start prosecuting minorities. Did you know that in 2009, he instituted the death penalty for homosexuality?
Oh, please.
He said it was in God's will and he printed the 50 gayest people in the country in the newspaper.
Did you make the top 50?
I didn't. I didn't. Funny though, it's not really that funny, but you open the gay apps in that country and there's a sign that comes up and it says you will be prosecuted if you are caught on these apps.
That's pretty old fashioned.
Even though it's a terrible leadership, people still, they're just warm. They're still, no matter what is thrown at them, they are incredible. And for all those tourists out there, I don't want to scare you away. It is also considered year after year one of the safest countries in Africa. So don't let this scare you. They protect tourists. There has been no tourists.
So you always
hurt.
Felt safe walking around.
I felt safe. Just don't open the gay apps if you're a gay person. The other thing that Uganda is really good for is aid workers. I met these doctors, these Irish doctors, and they had worked in aid organizations around the world and Africa especially. And they said they felt like they could make a big difference in Uganda because the hospitals spoke English. So that they were taken into the meetings and they could converse with the people there. and come up with solutions to the problems. Whereas in other African countries, they had to have a translator and they couldn't really engage with the community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to go and do some aid work, Uganda, the people are warm, welcoming, appreciative, and a lot of them speak English, so you can have a big impact.
Right.
It's time to ride that bus, Mark.
Eyes forward, pens down, ride the bus quiz.
This week on the Ride the Bus quiz, it is Mark's turn to quiz the champ.
Who? I can't quiz myself.
Mark, we know what's coming. The cream is rising.
Oh, God, the cream is rising. Holy moly, you're getting more delusional with age. Do you know that?
Should I mark down a 5 already?
Well, you tell me, Kerbox, because I know you like that name, Kerbox.
It's Mellow Man.
Didn't ask for your opinion. Thanks for giving it.
You're calling me Kerbox because you're afraid?
I'm not afraid. I do want to ask you this first question, and I want to see if you get this one right. So coffee is a big export. We all know that. Uganda coffee, you hear about it, you go to the markets, you get Uganda coffee. Pretty popular. Ugandan coffee is their major export.
Hop on. It's their major export. Thank you, Mark. That's one melon.
Yep. It's rare that
Mellow Man is on the board.
It's rare that the coffee is sent to the US. It is typically sent and exported to other countries in Africa.
Do you know, there's a coffee exchange in Ethiopia where they trade coffee beans. And do you know that coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world behind?
Xboxes.
Close.
Nintendo.
Oil.
Oh, please. It was a joke.
Yeah,
it was oil. Question number 2. 1/4 of Uganda's GDP, gross domestic product, comes from tourism. Are you going to hop on the bus or are you going to hop off?
Hop on.
I really wish you just got off the bus because you would have got the answer right. That's incorrect.
What
it's
is it?
It's actually agriculture. Question number 3. In Uganda, there's a lot of tribes that reside in Uganda, correct?
Correct.
Would you hop on the bus? There's 152 of them. Hop on or hop off?
Hop on.
You should have hopped off. There's 52 tribes, not 152. These tribes have their own customs and are still practiced to this day. All right, so that's 1 from 3. Kerbox, not off to a good start. There's a lot of malaria-carrying mosquitoes. The most active time for malaria carrying mosquitoes occurs from 9 p.m. until midnight. Are you hopping on or are you hopping off?
He's pulling this stupid face at me right now. I want to hop off.
You're going to hop off?
I'm hopping off.
Correct. It's from midnight until 5 a.m. Did
of
you get
course.
A malaria shot?
No, you don't get shots. You take malaria tablets.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going to be in the country long term, there's no point in taking the tablets. A lot of Africans will say you're not a true African until you've gotten malaria. Luckily, I didn't get malaria, so I guess I'm not a true African.
So going back to what we were talking about before with agriculture, the farming industry is huge. Are you going to hop on or hop off the bus for this? 35% of the population works in the farming industry. Are you hopping on or are you hopping off?
Hop on.
Hop off. 66%, Rory. So that is 2 from 5. Yeah, so
that's
it's a big
a
industry.
Terrible showing.
But 66% of Ugandans work in the farming industry. So I'd assume when you're driving around, there's just agriculture and farms everywhere.
Everywhere.
And they're hard workers?
You have to be. Everybody there is a hard worker.
Have you heard about that Ugandans are renowned for being late? Have you heard about that?
I didn't know about that.
So it's common for Ugandans to be late. And generally a person, on average, when they have a meeting, arrives 30 minutes late.
Really?
That's what they say.
There you go.
Local Legend Fast 5.
This week on Local Legend Fast 5, we have a Kiwi. She's not even from Uganda. But when I worked in Africa, I worked alongside a wonderful person called Kim. She worked for a couple of years in Africa leading tours, and one of her favorite places was Uganda. So I'm excited to bring you this interview with her. How are you, Kim?
I'm groovy, thanks.
Groovy, good to hear. So what type of food do you remember from Uganda? What sticks out?
Oh my gosh, I miss it so much. It's the Rolex, obviously. Remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Rolex is the best. Had you a favorite Rolex?
The classic, the chapati with the omelette and then avocado.
Oh, you can't beat it, can you? Is there any like strange or unique part of Ugandan culture you came across that stuck out?
some possibly don't need to talk about, but some absolutely.
No, Kim, tell us all about that other part.
Wow, the men just love women. You know,
this is true.
Yeah, yeah. Just the love of life, really. You know, like lots of smiles, lots of happiness from everyone. Kids, yeah they just, the local people just get out and do it.
Yeah. They're a joy.
Despite their conditions that we as Western people think, oh my gosh, how can they survive? Yeah. They struggle, absolutely, but they find a way to have a goodness in that and, yeah, it makes them more bigger-hearted.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was the big thing I took away from Uganda. What's one hidden gem or melon? If you're going to Uganda, what should you do?
Definitely the gorillas. I think that's a must-do. There's only, 350 or something left in Burundi, where we used to go and see them. And rafting down the Nile, because that river is getting dammed. It's been dammed twice already, and it's getting dammed a third time, possibly now, actually. So those rapids are going to be no more. So, if you go there, do it, because you won't get an opportunity again. Yeah. And they're world-renowned for rafting. All the cool cats in the rafting, kayaking scene go there. Definitely do that.
What bothered you about the country?
Its history is pretty full-on. I guess that's, I don't know, if it's not a bother. I mean, it's fascinating. It's full-on, like Idi Amin and all that kind of stuff around that. But I guess the positiveness that's come out of that, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
However, the exploitation is not so much a good thing, and I think there's a bit of that going on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. What's the best way to get around?
Buddha Buddha, that's always the most funnest.
For our listeners, a Buddha Buddha is a...
So that's a motorbike taxi.
Yep.
Or jumping on the back of a bike. Can be a bit dodgy, so just be mindful.
Would you say it's more or less dodgy than hitchhiking in New Zealand?
More dodgy.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. So getting around, I would recommend actually doing it with a tour company, to be honest, because then you don't need to think, and it's just easy. With public transport, it's there, but you have to really research, and, you know, often it won't be on that day. It'll be 2 hours or this and that. So it just becomes a bit of a headache if you've got a restricted amount of time in the country or the area. So, yeah, I'd probably recommend a tour company.
Yeah, perfect. It's not as accessible as a lot of other countries. And what advice would you give someone travelling to Uganda?
Go there with an open mind. Yeah, you'll see some amazingly different stuff, and just embrace it. They're doing their do, and they do their do, and just, it's not right or wrong, it's their way. So kind of just soak it up and learn why and how. Yeah, get into the food. Food's incredible. And the fruit and the markets, and yeah, just go talk to people. They like to practice their English usually, so they're really keen to teach you and show you and converse with you in any way, whatever it is. Take interest.
Some great advice there, Kim. Thank you once again for coming on our show. Kim, the world traveler, she is a gypsy around New Zealand these days, but someday you may see her in a country near you.
Oh, maybe. Hopefully.
Thanks for that, Kim.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's time to wrap up this episode.
Did somebody say DMTB
top 3?
Yeah.
Have you got any tips for us, Mark? You were jumping the gun earlier. You wanted to tell us about some of the things you want to take away from Uganda. Even though you haven't been there, you've done a lot of research. Have you got any tips for our listeners?
Rory, you've grown fat.
Fat?
It's a compliment. In Uganda, you tell somebody they've grown fat, it's a compliment. Tip number one, tell them they're fat. I'm not sure why I've got that here in my notes, but apparently that's what's pretty common.
Have you tested this?
In Uganda?
Yeah.
With Ugandese? I haven't been to Uganda.
You met any Ugandan people?
Not really. A lot of them don't travel, do they?
No, because they're extremely poor and extremely young.
No, I haven't. So I'll have to, when I go there, tell everybody that they're fat. Let's see how that goes down. No, Kerbox, I don't have any tips, and I wouldn't want to throw the listeners because I have not been there. But I'm really, really curious to know what you would recommend, definitely, if you were to visit Uganda. What do you got for us?
Okay, my top three to do in Uganda. Now, it's a must-see if you're in East Africa. And the number one thing to do in Uganda is gorilla trekking.
Is this why you're getting upset with me before?
I was, because you were going to steal my tip. What were you going to say about it?
You couldn't handle me getting to the information before.
Because you would have butchered it. Would have butchered it. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
Back to Rory, the Swiss dictator. Look at you. I would have butchered it. I do it better. I'm the best. Tell us about the gorillas.
The gorillas, half the world's population is in Uganda. And you can do it from the Congo and Rwanda. It's one big impenetrable rainforest.
Half the world's gorillas population, you mean?
Yes,
yeah.
Half the gorillas in the world, they are there. These are wild gorillas. Yep. It is expensive to do. It's about $500 or $600 to do it.
Yeah.
This land, there has been numerous attempts to open it up for oil exploration and companies to go in there and drill. But by keeping this expensive, it's an incentive for the government to protect these gorillas.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. And you have to apply a few months in advance. So do it early. You apply through the government. They only give out a certain amount.
Yeah.
And you go there and they put you into groups. So they may look at you, not that fit. They'll put you in one group. Look at me, extremely fit. I'll be put in another group. Then they send you out. The unfit, less able groups will be sent to the closest gorilla family. You're only allowed to spend 1 hour there with them. I've had passengers and their foot has been touched by the big silverback gorilla. These are wild animals. And then the fitter ones will walk for eight hours.
Right?
That's me, of course. Look at me. Specimen.
Rory, you are fat. I hope you feel good about yourself.
Oh, I feel great. But up to 7 or 8 hours and they're chopping through this forest to find the gorilla. And what they do is they know where they are from the day before and then they track them. And you spend an hour, they don't want them to get habituated, meaning used to humans.
Yeah.
And then you leave. Interestingly, if you do injure yourself along the way, because it's so expensive and people wait months to do this, they have a group of people that will come along with a stretcher. It costs about $500 and they will put you up on the stretcher and carry you in to see the gorillas and carry you out. It costs an extra $500. Like a king.
Where's the grapes?
Exactly. Well, I had one passenger, not my favorite passenger. She, on the first hill up, said, oh, I injured my ankle, and said, yep, give me. And they carried her for 6 hours, little kids and everything. I was like, you are entitled.
You know, you could probably see me, maybe.
I know. I know you would. Anyway, so that's my first tip. The gorillas is a must do.
Rory, there's only 3 countries in the world that you can do gorilla treks. So apparently the cheapest is, in fact, in Uganda. It's a good recommendation.
Number two, Switzerland. You were talking about Switzerland. Have you ever been to Africa, Switzerland?
I'm assuming it's in Uganda, so I'm going to say
it is
no.
In Uganda. Yeah. So it's called Lake Binyoni, and this place is loads of mountains and lakes, and it's just islands. It's spectacular. Okay, it's not on the tourist trail, but look up Lake Binyoni, explore it, go to the little villages around it, go on a boat ride through the islands.
Because it's here, it's very tranquil. Cool, and there's plenty of amazing bird life just to check out. You can do kayaks.
Yep. So my third tip, it's a must when you're in Uganda, is to go to Jinja. Now, Jinja is world-class kayaking. And people from all over the world that kayak head there because the white water is incredible.
Yep.
Go for a white water rafting trip along the Nile. And it is also on the edge of Lake Victoria, the world's second largest lake. And they talk about where the source of the Nile is. They say it's in Uganda. It goes through Lake Victoria and then down from there. Now, there's big debate at the moment over whether they've dammed the Nile once in Uganda and they're looking at doing it again. And a lot of whitewater rafters are afraid that that's going to kill it and there's not going to be the great whitewater rafting. One thing you can do is if you pay extra, you can get into a two-person canoe and they'll take you down these giant rapids. And if you flip over, the person in the back is so strong, they can flip the canoe back over. You'll be in the front. And you'll
get a job pretty easy.
I wouldn't be in the front of your canoe. We'd be drowning.
No, good recommendation. Roy, I have to ask, did you go and check out the equator when you were in Uganda?
I did indeed.
You straddled the equator?
I wouldn't say I straddled it, but yeah.
Straddled or straddled?
Either.
So the reason I say straddle the equator, that's what a lot of people do. It's one of the only places where you can actually hold on to the equator and straddle it. And by straddle, hold on to it, and basically climb on the equator.
So what are you holding on to, Mark?
The sign, the equator sign.
So it's a big ring, the one we used to go to, and you'd hold
that's
on.
That's what I'm talking about, straddle it. Are you listening to me or not? Straddle the equator, man.
Well, you're straddling the big ring. You're not actually holding on to the actual equator.
I feel your mind is going somewhere else.
There's nothing to hold on to.
You're making me uncomfortable. But yeah, so that's pretty cool.
It is.
So you can experience
worth a stop. Worth a stop.
Wowee, Rory. That is definitely our best episode yet. If you enjoy that episode, please subscribe to Don't Miss the Bus on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcast from, so you never miss an episode. And please follow us and like us on Facebook and on Instagram. And we're also on Patreon too. Please also don't forget to rate, review, and tell all of your friends so they can also jump on the magical school bus of the Don't Miss the Bus podcast. Happy travels!